What happens when the line between creation and destruction blurs beyond recognition? In the Blue Hour, a human bone discovered in a renowned artist's sculpture sets off a chain reaction that exposes decades of carefully buried secrets. On Eris Island, a remote tidal outpost connected to the mainland only 12 hours daily, art curator James Becker finds himself drawn into a web of obsession, jealousy, and murder surrounding the late painter Vanessa Chapman's legacy. As he investigates the bone's origin, Becker uncovers a disturbing truth. Sometimes the people who appear most devoted harbor the darkest capabilities. The island itself becomes a character in this haunting narrative, a place where isolation breeds both extraordinary creativity and unthinkable violence, where the tide's rhythm dictates not just physical access, but psychological states. What begins as professional curiosity evolves into a dangerous game of cat and mouse, with someone willing to kill to protect the past. James Becker has secured his dream position managing Vanessa Chapman's prestigious estate at Fairburn House after years of networking and minor treachery. For this working-class curator, the role represents everything he sacrificed for: recognition, security, and proximity to extraordinary art. His carefully constructed life unravels when the Tate Modern discovers what appears to be a human bone in Chapman's sculpture Division 2. This discovery places Becker in an impossible position. Sebastian Lennox, heir to the Fairburn Foundation and his wife Helena's ex-fiancé, sees publicity value in the controversy. Helena, now pregnant, suggests they visit Chapman's executor, Grace Haswell, to investigate whether the bone connects to Chapman's husband, Julian, who disappeared 20 years ago. As Becker's inquiry deepens, he's caught between artistic integrity and commercial interests. When Helena faces pregnancy complications while he's stranded on Eris Island during a storm, Becker must rely on Sebastian, exposing his vulnerability and outsider status in his meticulously built life. "If I can't have it, I'm not sure my heart will take it," wrote Vanessa Chapman upon discovering Eris Island. This remote location became sanctuary for a woman critics deemed brilliant, yet disagreeable, offering escape from domestic constraints among soft, rounded hills so female, the mysterious wood, and the chaos of the sea. The island transformed her art. After breaking her wrist, Vanessa merged ceramics with painting, incorporating beach objects into sculptures. "I vibrate with joy," she wrote of this liberation. Her diaries reveal someone who cherished independence. "I eat when I want, work when I want, answering to no one but the tide." Yet Eris Island witnessed her darkest chapter when her husband Julian disappeared during a visit, leaving only his wallet found miles away in fishermen's nets. Through her writings, we witness Vanessa's evolution from an ambitious young artist in an unhappy marriage to a fiercely independent creator who found her voice in isolation. But at what cost? 5 years after Vanessa's death, Dr. Grace Haswell guards the artist's legacy from Eris Island. Short, stocky, and weathered, Grace defies Becker's expectation of Vanessa's companion. When he asks about the bone in Division 2, she responds with hostility, ejecting him and declaring the Fairburn Foundation unworthy of Vanessa's work. Grace met Vanessa in 1998 while treating her broken wrist. Their bond solidified after Grace saved Vanessa from an attack by a mechanic. "I owe her my life. I owe her everything," Vanessa wrote. Grace relocated to the island, beginning their two-decade relationship, something profound that defied conventional labels. Yet Grace harbors dark secrets. Her relationship with Vanessa featured intense jealousy, especially regarding Vanessa's ex-husband, Julian. When Julian returned in 2002, Grace's resentment had devastating consequences. Most disturbing is Grace's self-perception as conscientious, hardworking, doctor, friend, while dismissing killer as absurd despite taking multiple lives. This cognitive dissonance makes her profoundly unsettling, a nurturing exterior concealing a capacity for calculated violence when threatened. Throughout the Blue Hour, art functions as both confession and concealment. Vanessa's artistic evolution, from conventional oil paintings to complex mixed-media sculptures incorporating found objects and eventually human remains, parallels her psychological journey from constraint to freedom as she processes trauma. Vanessa's black paintings hold particular significance, especially one depicting the man in the doorway, a sinister figure from her nightmares. Like Goya's black paintings, these works emerged from her darkest periods, using heavy impasto and a restricted palette that simultaneously conceals and reveals. The painting Love, which Grace shows Becker near the novel's end, serves as a crucial artistic confession. This dark work depicts three figures in a nocturnal scene with violent brushstrokes conveying emotional turbulence. Naming this violent scene Love reveals Vanessa's understanding that devotion and destruction can intertwine. Division 2, containing human bone, functions as the ultimate confession, literally incorporating violence into art. The bone ensures truth eventually emerges, as the epigraph suggests, and death shall have no dominion. The Blue Hour explores how ordinary people rationalize extraordinary evil. Grace's justification for multiple murders shows how seemingly normal individuals commit horrific acts while preserving their self-image. Grace tells Becker her work as a doctor outweighs her crimes. "I've saved countless lives." When Becker argues one life can't be measured against another, Grace firmly disagrees. This utilitarian view lets her see herself as virtuous despite taking at least three lives. Her justifications evolve: Nicholas Riley's murder as self-defense, Julian's as protecting Vanessa, and assisting Vanessa's suicide as mercy during terminal cancer. The novel reveals how trauma warps moral reasoning. Grace's childhood injuries and abandonment created a fear of rejection that manifests as possessive violence when threatened. These experiences explain, but don't excuse, how ordinary wounds create conditions for extraordinary evil. Through Grace, we face uncomfortable questions about forgiveness, justice versus revenge, and how close any of us might be to crossing similar moral boundaries. "What does it matter? When you're gone, you're gone," Vanessa wrote after her cancer diagnosis. Yet she concluded that legacy does matter. The art you made, or the people, the friends you loved, the good you did, the bad. This reflection echoes throughout the novel's exploration of what survives death. The tide serves as a metaphor for forces that both conceal and reveal. Eris Island's tidal nature creates isolation, enabling violence, yet eventually exposes buried secrets. Julian's wallet appears in a fisherman's net, and Becker's final moments occur as water fills his car on the submerged causeway. In the conclusion, Becker becomes Grace's final victim as she protects her secrets. As hypothermia sets in, his mind compares himself to Goya's drowning dog. His thoughts of Helena and their unborn child highlight how violence creates ripples of loss beyond immediate victims. Like the tide returning to Eris Island, truth cannot remain submerged. The bone in Division 2 ensures even decades-old crimes eventually surface, a reminder that our darkest acts, like our greatest creations, ultimately outlive us.